Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have money, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Verses 1 through 13, all of Isaiah chapter 55. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the grace, the power, the strength, the encouragement that comes from your word. What a blessing it is for us to be able to open your word and to hear directly from your mind, your heart, to hear from heaven every day as you speak words of wisdom, words of grace, words of power, words of blessing. Lord, help us to grow every day in our love for your word and our commitment to filling our hearts and our minds with your word daily. And Lord, thank you for the chance to not only receive of the blessing from your word, but thank you for the chance to teach and train our children to draw on that grace as well. Not only our children, but our grandchildren, other children and young people we have a chance, whose lives we have a chance to touch. Lord, more and more help us to fill our hearts and our lives with your word and help us to walk in that word every single day and teach us to love you and to walk with you day by day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Pastor David Ball. Pastor Ball is the pastor of the Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and also oversees the ministry, the Transformation Ranch and Transformation Home. Welcome, Pastor Ball, to the Hour of Intercession.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to be here and just so excited about what God's doing and being a part of what God's doing.
Well, appreciate you coming. It's been a while. It's been more than a year, I think, since you've been on with us before, but it's good to have you back. And today I just want to ask you if you'll share about the work God has, how he led you to start the church, but also the fruit that's coming as you really branch out in ministry and all the things God is doing through the outreaches.
You know, when you first begin to follow after Christ and you begin to surrender to his will for your life, and you look back and you see how every moment of your life has been preparing you for such a time as now, as the Book of Esther teaches us. I'm coached and taught in the public school for 20 years, and God was preparing me every moment by moment for such a time as now. And what happened was, with close friendships as a basketball coach and football coach in the state of Alabama and the state of Mississippi, I watched a lot of young men life come unraveled, not in their own way, in their own decisions, but maybe by decisions of the mother and the father, a father that was arrested and gone to jail. One young man that I coached, his life was so tragic in his early years, in his formative years, and a father that was in prison. And then when his father got out, he found out that his mother had been unfaithful. And so he threw his mother off a bridge, killing her, and he went back to jail, and the young man ended up moving in with his grandparents. And I was his coach, and I came into his life his sophomore year, at the completion of his sophomore year, and had him for his junior and senior year. And as I watched in this young man's life how his grandmother and grandfather, within a matter of 6 months, passed away, and he was left with a 21-year-old older sister as the only guardian in his life. And I watched his life, and not any fault of his own, the circumstances in his life just put him in a devastating situation. Very fortunate for him that God had somebody that loved the Lord in his life, and myself, and his baseball coach as well. And the two of us filled that role in that spot in his life. We became the disciplinarian that he needed. We became the accountability that he needed. And this young man ended up going and playing minor league baseball, and now he's a fitness trainer in Birmingham, Alabama, married. And his story ended well because somebody just felt the call to be a part of his life. And then that began to cause me to think, how many more people are just like him? But there's nobody that's called of God to be in their life,
to stand in the gap,
and point to Jesus. And one of my adult friends, I'm a big Alabama fan, and one of my adult friends was a big Alabama fan. We went to church together. We became friends. He was a big sports fan. I was coaching. Mm-hmm. And he was a financial planner, and in his life, his drug addiction took over when the finances became so incredibly blessed financially. And he was a millionaire and was earning astronomical amounts of money. And with that money, his life became unraveled. He just began to play. And he ended up having an affair. He ended up losing his marriage. And eventually, he overdosed and lost his life. These two events just led me down the path that I was enjoying my life. I was enjoying coaching. I was enjoying impacting young men's lives and watching them grow from boys to men. But then a call came greater than that of basketball in my life, and God called me to minister full-time. I'd been preaching, filling pulpits. I would preach the gospel anywhere, anytime. I used to joke and say I'd preach for 5 minutes downtown Baghdad before my head cut off. But the one thing I was never going to do was be a pastor. I don't mind preaching in dangerous situations, but sometimes the church pulpit can be the most dangerous of situations that you can walk into. And so I just said I'll never be a pastor. And, of course,
Don't tell the Lord what you're not going to do.
Well, I tell you, Brother Joseph, now I'm telling God I'm never going to Hawaii for a six-month sabbatical with my wife. I've learned my lesson, okay, and I'm going to see if the opposite maybe works. But God just melted my heart for people. And at that point, he opened my ears to the cry of people and how people are wounded and hurting all around us. And we identify problems well, but we don't address them very well in the church. We can recognize the issues in our community, but we don't address them very well. And so what God called me to as a pastor when he called me into full-time ministry was to lead the church outside the walls. We hear this as a cliche all the time, that we are to be the church, not exist as a church. But a lot of times people have no idea what that means. I began to communicate with a lot of people, and there's a remnant in churches all over the place, in Tupelo, everywhere we go. There's a remnant of people that are hungry to be the church, but they don't know where to start.
I want to jump in right here. I want to ask, I want you to, before you proceed, pray for those people, whatever's in your heart to pray for them about, because you're right, there's a huge remnant.
Yeah.
And but they, again, they need to listen to what the Lord, but also see the Lord working too. Would you pray?
Exactly. Lord, I just thank you right now for those people that are sitting in churches all over America.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're hungry, and they're hungry to be used of you. They just don't know where to plug in. their heart is broken. They weep over the lost. They weep over the hurting people. And their heart is your heart.
Thank you.
And their heartbeat is your heartbeat.
Thank you.
And God, right now, they're just in desperate need of direction. God, I pray right now that you would point them spiritually in the direction you'd have them go. God, that you would lead their passion to an area where they must act and do what you're calling them to do. God, I pray for those with wisdom and those with a vision. And God, right now in my heart, I know that people perish for lack of vision. And these people just seemingly are spiritually perishing because they don't know where to take their resources. They don't know where to take their skills, their gifts that you have given them, and use them to further your kingdom. So God, right now, I pray for them to find direction from your Holy Spirit. And then God, I pray that you give them the courage to step out by faith and move to act in the word that you're giving them. And God, I pray right now that you would do this. And I pray, God, that there would be an awakening take place in ministries that are birthed. And God, I pray for a divine determination to see things through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, pick up right where you left off there.
Well, that's exactly what God did with me. He broke my heart to the point, and as I went into the church, I was like, okay, how can we get outside the walls? Henry Blackaby, you know, experiencing God's study that I know a lot of people did years ago, kind of taught me that God's at work. He's never caught off guard, and he never stands still, and he never does nothing. He's at work. He's at work around us all the time. What our job is to find out where he is at work and get in on it. And so what happened is I ended up down in Sarasota, Florida, with Pastor Jim Miner and his church there, the Harvest House. And we went to the Harvest House, and for 28 years he's been doing street ministry. And he said, identify your community's problems, find out who's doing it, join them, and if nobody's doing it, start doing it. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, we identified problems of homelessness. We identified problems of people that are hungry.
In the Tupelo community.
Mm-hmm. Well, we found out that there's some people like Salvation Army and other places that are addressing some of these issues. There's Soup Kitchen, and there's people in the area, Tupelo area, that's providing food. And but the one issue that I had seen the most was drug and alcohol abuse. It, how many lives that has been touched? I know our listeners, everyone knows someone who has impacted their life through an addiction on either drugs or alcohol. And there was nothing at the time, there was nothing in this area that was addressing that issue. And so that's where God called us to plant to begin with. What happened is people started coming to our church, getting saved, that were struggling with this, and we addressed the issue. We opened the Transformation Ranch for men, and we began with just a house, and one of our members said, if God's called us to do this, we need to be prepared to do this. So he suggested we started taking our tithe of our offerings and 10% and putting in Grace and Mercy account. We've been doing that ever since.
A tithe of your church's?
Overall givings. 10% goes in Grace and Mercy account every month.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you finance.
That's how we began financing.
Okay.
We ended up with about $16,000 in that account, and we fixed up the first house that the Transformation Ranch is currently at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took that, and we began to operating expenses, and our Transformation Ranch. The one thing that really spoke to me was...
Okay, I tell you, we're going to jump in. We're coming up on a break. We want you to pick up right there. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church and the director of Transformation Ranch and Transformation Home. We'll be right back.
While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. For those who fancy socialism, consider this. Russia used to be the USSR, the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Does anyone doubt that the USSR was a communist nation with a communist government? The phrase democratic socialism was introduced by Vladimir Lenin in 1919 to get the Russian people to embrace communism. He softened the description so people would embrace communism. socialism is always an intermediate stop on the road toward communism. What you call something isn't nearly as important as what it actually is.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Sometimes I lose my ground when I feel God's not around and not answering me. Lord, you know I believe, but please help my unbelief, 'cause I don't want you to look over me. God, I know you can, and I know you will.
God will.
Oh, he'll do just what
he said.
Every single word he said, God can.
God can.
Oh, I know you will.
God will.
Oh,
he'll do
just what
everything
he said.
Some may ask, why is your God with so much trouble going on? Is he even here? Is he even here?
Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, so I don't have to fear. God, I know.
The music of Dwayne Woods, the song God Can. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We have as our in-studio guest Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Pastor Ball, would you pick up where you left off as you're sharing about the ministry?
Absolutely. It was somewhere along this time in my life that God really began to wreck me in an incredible way. And what I mean by that is, we were talking off the air that so many times in the church we're so organized and we've got so many programs that we do. What we will do is we will find what we would like to do and what we're comfortable with doing in the church, and we will make our plans, and then we'll begin to operate in, and we'll go that route. And then we ask God to get in on our plans. Mm-hmm. And we've got it exactly opposite. God is at work. He's at work all around us. He's ministering to people, and he's ministering to hungry people, hurting people. And that's, you look at Jesus and who he ministered to, the people that he was drawn to. And that's when the man that I was telling you about was struggling so mightily in his life, and when his overdose occurred, all of a sudden I began to realize that there's a group of people that are fighting addictions, whether it's drug or an alcohol, and they need help desperately. And that's where God really said, David, okay, are you willing to do my will? I was coaching. I was loving coaching. I saw myself getting buried behind a gym somewhere. I just would, you know, fall off and maybe during a game sometime, and they'd just carry me out back and bury me, and that'd be the end of my life. But I never saw me doing anything but coaching. I loved it with all of my heart. I came across this verse in John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And I broke that verse down, and what it says is anyone wills to do his will. If anyone makes a decision in their heart that they will do what God wants them to do, then God reveals his plan, and you will know this is his plan. You will know that this is not just your wishes and your wants. Mm-hmm. We don't wait on that. What we want to do is, God, you give me a list of the things you want me to do, and then I'll check the ones I'll do. God, we want you to get in on my work that I want to do for you. But what this is saying is that there comes a time that we open our palms and our hands and we say, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Right. For me, that was this moment. When I looked at these individuals that were hurting, and I said, who's going to stand in the gap on their behalf? Mm-hmm. Who's going to minister to them? I looked at the way the state sometimes wants to treat addiction. Basically, what they'll do is they'll help him get off of drugs by giving them other drugs. Hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I'm a layperson. I'm a coach. I'm a common sense guy. I'm not what you would call an intellectual by any stretch of the imagination. But it seems to me helping somebody get off of drugs by using drugs it seems that might not be the direction we need to go. And I believe firmly that Jesus Christ is the answer.
Right.
He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Mm-hmm. Not only does no one get to the Father except through him, but also he promises life, and he promises it more abundantly. So what began to happen in my life was a surrender to him, whereas that he can do the work and call me to the work that he wanted. And that was just the church getting outside the walls and begin to minister to broken people. And the one that we chose, the direction that God gave us when we said, God, what do you want us to do? Was people that are fighting drug and alcohol addiction. We created the Transformation Ranch based upon Romans 12:1-2, where Jesus says, you know, he's teaching us and Romans, he says, you know, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 tells you how to do that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what we realize is that addiction is an issue, that we've got a world ideology. We've got a world's mindset. Basically, our problems are too big for God, and they're too big for us. So therefore, we have to numb ourselves to get through the day. And that's what people begin to do. They begin to use drugs and alcohol to maybe forget their problems or numb themselves so they don't feel the pain. And we begin to see that as a spiritual issue, as it really is. And so what began to happen is we begin to see lives transformed. As we just introduced them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ours is a work program. Our young men and young ladies now at the Transformation Home, what we since started, mm-hmm. They both work. And the philosophy for that is restoring dignity by them financing their own way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This was a daunting task. Our church, a lot of people in our church, when all of a sudden we started filling up with young men and young ladies, and they had tattoos and they had piercings and they didn't dress well. Most of them showed up with one set of clothes that were on their back and they had nothing else. Mm-hmm. And God begins to put their life together. Well, it was uneasing for a lot of parents. I've had families that look me in the eye and say, I love you to death. I love this church. But I just don't think I want to put my kids in church with a bunch of convicts. Mm. That breaks your heart. But at the same time, God's called us to this vision. And there's going to be some labor pains as this birth of this vision comes about. And so we lost a lot of people in our church that just weren't ready to be that uncomfortable. There's a lot of dirty diapers with baby Christians that show up and aren't ready to, maybe they don't even know, never been in church before in their life. And and that's a beautiful thing that I'm seeing, is people that have never read a scripture verse, never been in church a day in their life, or come into our facility. They're getting saved, their life is being transformed, and right before your eyes, they're awakened spiritually.
And one good side, they don't have to unlearn a lot of garbage that other people would have to unlearn.
Exactly. A lot of times we have this misconception of who God is. They had no idea who God is. And then when they see who God is and they see who they are in Christ, there's a lot of mature believers that haven't, maybe they understand who God is, but somehow along the way they bought the lie that they can't be who God intends for them to be because of their own past, because of their own failures.
Well, you know, Pastor Paul, I think of this, a scripture you just quoted a few moments ago, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It uses the word sacrifice. And, you know, that word in many ways in our culture is a dirty word.
Yeah,
you know, the fact is, if we're going to follow Christ, sacrifice has got to be a part of our lifestyle, the way we live and function. Yet we live in a culture, even you take what people call the quote-unquote American dream, that's not the dream of the kingdom of God. It's just not.
No.
And the fact is, we're called to give till it hurts, really, if we're going to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus did it first. Yeah. He showed us what it looked like.
Absolutely.
And there are those that, when they really see what it means to be a disciple, their reaction may be, not for me.
Exactly.
And it's sad.
It really
is.
But
we need to understand, to really follow Christ, it's going to involve sacrifice.
It really is. And you know, even in your own life, when, you know, the passage from John 7 I was talking about a while ago, when you say, God, I'm yours. You know, when I was in China, an underground church, one of the songs that they were singing it in Chinese, but I recognized the tune. And it was, I surrender all. You know, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And as they were singing it in Chinese, and my interpreter turned and said, do you recognize the song? And I said, no, I don't. And she told me what it was, and I was like, wow. And I'm looking at a room. We met at 5 o'clock in the morning to hide from the officials. And so I'm looking in the room at a room full of 150 people that were sitting in a room that they're going shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, sitting on the floor, and not one person left to go to the bathroom. And we had church for about 3 hours, and I was just amazed at their hunger and their thirst for God. Their sacrifice was unbelievable, but that song— I surrender all. And one of the pastors in China looked at me and said, why does God ask so much of the Church of China and ask so little of the church in America? And I went, wow. In China, some people are asked to give their life, literally, to die for him. And I know that a lot of their laws have relaxed and over the years, but there's still persecution that's taking place, and literally going to prison and serving time. But at the same time, man, willing to die for God, and in America sometimes we're not willing to live for him. And so the sacrifice is the key. And I think when you're ready to sacrifice, I think when you get to the point of John 7:17 where you say, God, my will is to do your will. You just let me know. I'm on board. I'll sign up. I'll do whatever you ask. And when we started doing this, all of a sudden the vision started taking shape. And now we've purchased around 57 acres, and we are breaking ground on building the new facility, a little over 5,000 square foot facility for our men. And then from that, there's several other facilities that are going to be given. Right now we have the Transformation Ranch and the Transformation Home. We're about to start our ER program, which is called an early release program. These are guys that come out of prison. Right now, a guy that comes out of prison is given an ID, $25, and he says, start your life over, son. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard. That's why in the state of Mississippi, we have one of the highest rates of recidivism where a guy's reoffending. And so we have to step in the gap there and begin to address it. So we're going to begin to take guys that are coming out of prison and teaching them and training them how to – we take them and give them a place to stay so they don't have to go back to the same environment that they were in that they got arrested from to do the same thing over again expecting different results. Isn't that by definition insanity? And so we want to give them a different place to stay. We're going to give them a job and teach them how to balance their checkbook, how to do a lot of the things that maybe there was no father, maybe there was nobody in the life in their life that could teach them these things. And then work towards a career and work towards success and those things. So that's the ER program that we're going to be doing for men and women that's going to be coming sometime in the spring of 17. And then also we're going to have a trafficking refuge where we're going to have a place where young ladies that have been sex trafficked in their life. Right now across the nation there are a lot of organizations that are rescuing these ladies from here, from overseas, but they have no place to put them once they are rescued. We want to provide a facility where these ladies can go, where they can have a new life, where they can get their education, where they can get on with their life and heal, a safe place for them to heal, and also homeless shelter. We're going to have emergency housing for homelessness where somebody can get off the street immediately, and then we're going to have transitional housing for them where they can move in if they qualify, if they choose to get a job and choose to get off the streets. Then we'll provide those facilities for them. All of this is a part of the grander vision that God has given. Mm-hmm. And God's bringing people to our path, and it's incredible. Desperate need of professional people that can get involved with us. Early stages, the problem is, early stages of getting something started, there might not be enough money to start up money. Eventually, God provides, but in initial stages. So we need volunteers. Eventually, we hope those positions turn to paid positions. Right now, we've got Warren Seavey, that's our director of Grace and Mercy Ministries, and Robbie Gillespie, that's there volunteering with him. And these guys are doing a great job, but God's needing so many more to help us as we grow this ministry.
Would you take time now, Pastor, to pray for every listener that we grasp the fact that we're called to sacrifice, whether that means getting involved with either this ministry or one like it, but somehow or another really giving ourselves to the work of God and being willing to sacrificially give ourselves to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Would you pray for that?
And then, Father, we just pray for those that are listening to us right now and maybe they find themselves heart being broken over circumstances that are surrounding them. And God, we just pray for complete and total surrender to the Lordship of Christ.
Yes.
God, we ask you right now to speak to those people and allow them to be awakened inside of them to a point, God, where they'll say, God, whatever you want of me,
yes.
I am yours completely and totally. God, I believe that there is a sense of need to be recklessly obedient to you without any regard for self, without any regard for who we are, but lose ourself in you and you and our becoming our identity. And so, God, right now, I pray for those people that are listening to us that are maybe contemplating the idea of just complete surrender to whatever you have. Instead of waiting for God to give his plans and them check it off whether they okay it or not, where they just look to God and say, God, not my will but yours. Whatever it is, I surrender all. So, God, right now, we ask for the church in America to surrender all. Surrender our own dreams, our own aspirations, our own goals. And God, we surrender to you and what you have for them. In Jesus' precious holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi, the director of the Transformation Ranch and the Transformation Home. We'll be right back after the break. And if you want to learn, just stick around. If you want to learn how you can support or plug in and be of help to a great ministry like this, we'll be right back.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk. Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Dr. Tony Evans says what you get out of church depends on what you put into it. But not everybody shares that perspective. He'll explain why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Some of you have teenagers. We live in such a high-tech world that your teenagers don't need you anymore. Through technology, the computers, the iPhones, the iPads, they can go to their room and not need you. Tell it's time to eat. They want the food, but they don't necessarily want the family. A lot of God's children come to church every Sunday. They want the sermon, they want the song, but they don't want to be involved in the family. Feed me, preacher. Give me something to shout about, choir. I want to feel good when I leave church on Sunday because I want the food. But I don't want to have anything to do with the family. Them people get on my nerves. I don't want the family, but I want the food. God says if there is not love attached to your life, the food will never be enough. Some people will come to church and never join. They might be asked to benefit somebody other than themselves. And they don't want all that. They just want to eat. God has constructed this love thing so that your connection to him vertically is intricately tied to your connection to others horizontally. And if that connection is broken, he says, you're in darkness.
Learn more about life in the family of God with the help of Dr. Evans' series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
For the moments that wouldn't last, chased all my dreams away, chased all my dreams away. But then you found me and you put me on that right path. I'm on that highway, I'm on that highway. You got my heart and soul on everlasting love blast. I'm here to tell the world that's who I'm living for. I know who I'm living for. I know who I'm living for.
something fold.
Some people live in a world that's made of glass. I found a new way, I found a new way. We're living, taking bigger chances than we have before. I like it this way, I like it this way. I'm standing on that solid rock and I am here to stay. I'm here to tell the world that's who I'm living by.
Music of Forever Jones, the song I Know Who I'm Living For. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Pastor Ball, can you tell our listeners, if someone wants to get in touch with you or the Anchor Church, or they just want to learn more about your ministry or would like to give financially, how would they get in touch with you or learn more about
it? Well, they can give us a call, and I'll give those numbers. My phone number, my personal phone number is area code 205-255-4967. And Warren Seavey is the director of Grace and Mercy Ministries for us. And if you'd like to talk and learn more about what's going on with the ranch and with the home, maybe you want to volunteer, maybe you have somebody that needs ministry, we're word of mouth. We have a Facebook page, but basically we are word of mouth, and that works because there's so many people in need. But Warren Seavey's phone number is in area code 662-401-1369, area code 662-401-1369. And Warren Seavey, he is the one to contact if you're really interested in maybe helping and being a part. But let's just say you want to give and you just want to plant a seed in this ministry. Then you can mail all contributions to P.O. Box 4083, P.O. Box 4083, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803. And that is our address, and all are tax deductible. And you can give that through the Anchor Church, and in your memo, write Grace and Mercy Ministries. 100% of everything that comes in that is labeled for Grace and Mercy Ministry or Transformation Ranch or Transformation Home, ever how people designate, goes in that direction, because it's a daunting task, and financially, God has been providing like you would not believe. It's just amazing. Every time we take a step in obedience in the direction God's leading us, His provisions are always there.
Mm-hmm. That's neat to see when God does that. But of course, God always blesses His word.
Oh, always
obedience
does.
To His word. Praise
oh,
God.
Always
praise
does.
God. Well, Pastor Ball, in this last segment, what further would you like to share about? Now, I want to ask you this specifically. If a listener, maybe someone is listening and they're thinking to themselves, I really would like to see that kind of thing happen in my community. What would you say to that person?
This can be duplicated. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not a invent the wheel kind of guy, mm-hmm. but I can look at that wheel and say, we can use that. We mm-hmm. can do that. And that's exactly what we did. We went to Sarasota, Florida, where Jim Miner and the Harvest House down there, and we said, man, we can do this, and we brought it to Tupelo, Mississippi. Of course, what works in Sarasota, Florida, will not necessarily work in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. So we had to adjust somewhat to fit our environment. But I would love to sit down and talk to a pastor or church ministry that feels like this is the direction they feel God's leading them. And it's a daunting task. But I can tell you the need is so great, and because whenever you touch the heart of God, He moves His hand in action. And what happens when you step out to minister to the least of these broken people, wounded people, hurting people that are crying for help, when you step out, you are touching the heart of God, and His hand moves, and He will provide for what you will do. We have never gone lacking in anything as far as what has been going on now. 2 years with the ranch and a little over a year with the home, and God is blessing supernaturally gifts that are coming in, and the testimonies that are coming out of this One young man, we just began to minister in this capacity when we first started, and a young man showed up at our church on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. He is just released from prison. And the story goes this way. It blew my mind. He shows up on a Wednesday night. He's never been in church a day in his life. He just got released from prison, got saved in prison, mm-hmm. and he didn't know what to do. And his windshield broke, and one of our members installed his windshield mm-hmm. and was talking to him and brought him to church. And he just came into my office and said, hey, this is what happened to him. And I said, wow, this is unbelievable. And mm-hmm. I said, I want to hear your testimony. I want to hear what God's doing in your life. But, man, I got to teach right now. So we went out into church. We're sitting there, and I was happened to be teaching on Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is how this became such a major part of our ministry. And right in the middle of that, I was beginning to talk about how we are transformed, and our mind is transformed as we begin to, instead of think like the world, we begin to think like Christ, and our life is changed. All things are passed away. All things passed away. All things become new. You know, all those old things are gone or done. Mm-hmm. And right in the middle of our time, he stands up and starts punching his fists in the air and said, that's what's happened to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what happened to me. And he kept saying thank you, Jesus, about 10 times. And I just stopped and let him have his time. And then he sat back down. We finished our Bible study, and after it was over with, he told me a story. That he was arrested with $500,000 in cash, that he was laundering for the cartel, that he was charged with a federal offense of money laundering. He was sentenced with this long sentence. And after just serving a short period of time, he was released, and he didn't know why he was released. He didn't even know why they turned him loose. Mm-hmm. And so he had gotten saved in jail, and he was looking for a place to attend church. We told him what we were doing. He gave us he brought a limo that he had and began to transport all of our guys at the ranch to their jobs in a limo. And we still have the limo to this day. But one of the things that happened before that, God saved a young lady that was on the streets, that was doing a little making money through stripping and other things. And she got saved radically. Her aunt and I sat down with her in a restaurant here in Tupelo. She got saved. We started discipling her. But one problem, she was having a hard time letting go of the money of a sugar daddy that she had that was supposedly a drug dealer. Well, in my flesh, I started saying, God, take this young man out, whoever it is that's pulling your daughter away from you. I mean, here I am praying like David, God, kill my enemies. And just I was you know, so wrong in doing so, but I was literally saying, God, protect this girl from this drug dealer. And then Timothy whips out a picture, and all of a sudden on that picture is his girlfriend, and it was this girl. And God just told me, now, David, I know you wanted me to kill him, but I just thought I'd save him and send him to you to disciple. Is that all right, son? God taught me such a valuable lesson about being completely surrendered to him and not putting God in a box. God is big enough to save those that we think are incorrigible. They can't be saved. They're beyond restitution. They're beyond work of God. And God's saying that there's no one, no one beyond the reaches of God. There's no one that the blood of Jesus can't redeem. There's no life too far gone. And if we surrender to God and say, God, use me, he will take us into the world. He will take us as light into the darkness, as salt into the world, and he will bring light into these dark places, dark places and dark lives of people that are hurting so mightily.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Bond, in our last few minutes of the broadcast, would you pray for listeners, pray for that we as the people of God would more and more just really seek to be wide open to God, to say, God, just use me, with the understanding that we need to be for real.
Absolutely.
But God is ready to use us, and he's ready to use us miraculously if we just fully surrender ourselves. Would you pray?
Absolutely. I also feel this. I feel like there's somebody that's channel surfing right now that just stopped and heard that story and that testimony. And I believe when I said that there's no life too far gone, that resonated with them. Mm. And that person needs to hear right now that God loves you. Amen. And there's nothing that you have done in your life that can separate you from the love of our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And he loves you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. And he accepts you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he won't leave you there. Mm-hmm. He will bring you into his likeness. And so I want to pray for you right now, and I want to pray for the other listeners that want to be used of God to minister to those people that I'm talking about.
And if you feel like the Lord's, just go ahead and lead them in a salvation prayer if you feel so led as well.
If you have heard me today and you have for some time have been believing you're just too far gone, that there's no way God can love you, he's too holy, he's too good, that you're too bad, that you're too dark, in the dark place that you're in, there's no way he can reach you. I'm telling you today that God loves you.
Yes.
And all he is just a prayer away to receive. It's a free gift. He's a loving God that will not turn you away. He's a loving God that wills that all would be saved. And so right now, you accept that free gift that God is offering to you right now of redemptive power of the cross. Just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to take complete and control of my life. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my life and have your way in my life right now. I love you, and God, I surrender to you. Now, if you prayed that prayer right now, I want you to find some place that you can talk to somebody, share with them what happened to you today, and get help learning how to walk out your faith. That's what's needed. Those of you right now that are listening to me and you just have been attending church and God's been breaking your heart and telling you there's something more, what we're talking about today is that something more. God wants to use you as well. But you need to make that decision, as John 7:17 says. You need to make the decision that your will is to do the will of the Father. And that is it, period, exclamation point. And then let God add to what you want, he wants you to do. Not you adding God to what you want and your plans, but you being added to God's plans. Just complete and total surrender. Just stand before God and say, God, take me, I'm yours. Use me in whatever capacity you so choose. If you feel led and you want to get in touch with us, I've given you that number. We'd love to work with you. But I want to pray for you right now that God would lead you in the direction he'd have you to go. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful.
Thank you.
That you come to us. And God, I'm so thankful that when we couldn't get to you, you made a way.
Yes.
Where there seemed no way. God, I'm so thankful that you called me.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful that you saved me. I'm so thankful that you changed me. And I'm so thankful that now you're molding me and shaping me in your likeness as you use me for your glory. God, I know you'll do the same thing to the listeners. And so, God, right now, as they stand before you completely surrendered, God, I pray don't let the sun set before you confirm what you're speaking to them now, that you confirm in the mouth of two or three witnesses exactly what's taking place today. And God, I pray they would boldly act and do whatever it is that you're asking of them. And God, one thing we will do, we will give you all the praise and all the glory. For you're a good, good Father. And I'm so thankful that you choose to use us.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ball, for being with us today.
Oh, absolutely. Enjoyed it.
It's been a privilege to have you with us. Again, our guest has been Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Thanks for listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.